Chapter 39. Colt's shot freezes a bare fraction of a centimeter from Dooku's skin, stilled in the air. But Colt never thought it would hit, never expected a blaster bolt to be Dooku's end, so he doesn't even hesitate, drives forward in the one half second of Dooku's distraction, driving his shoulder into Dooku's chest and takes him down the same way he would any other man. They land hard, and Dooku snarls, "Your general is dead!" He hisses at Colt, but from behind him, Colt can hear the hiss of a lightsaber, a deep hum. That one half second is all Shock needed, and Colt lets out a short, vicious laugh, slamming Dooku's head back into the stone of the floor. An invisible hand grabs him, hauls him up and off, and throws him. But Colt twists in the air, hits hard, and rolls right back to his feet as the two halves of Dooku's lightsaber clatter to the ground by the Count's boots. Shock rises, lightsaber glowing, expression as set as any predator before its wounded prey. "No," she says, "the only thing that will die here is your plans, for the Republic and the clones alike." Dooku pauses, gaze flickering from Shock to Colt, who gives him a thin smile. His eyes narrow, and he pulls himself to his feet, taking a deliberate step back. "I would have assumed," he says, cold, "that any plans for the Republic would include the clones. Have you finally seen that they're disposable weapons, my old friend?" "Everything is a disposable weapon to you, Dooku," Shock says simply. "This is where the dark side has led you. But I would think that the brainwashing of millions would make even you hesitate." Colt can see the moment when Shock's words register, the perfect stillness that comes over Dooku's face. He stares at her. Shock smiles, slow and deadly. "Did you think we wouldn't figure it out?" she asks softly. "With those chips, you could have had a whole army, and you'd only have to destroy thousands of sentient beings for it." There's a long, long pause. And then, slowly, Dooku smiles. "You always were far too clever for your own good, Shock," he says softly. "A shame, then, that you can't keep anyone you love alive, isn't it?" It's easy to see the words hit. Shock's flinch isn't visible, is hidden around her eyes and in the curl of her mouth. But Colt sees the impact. He takes a step forward, wanting to put himself in between her and Dooku, but remembers himself in time, stops instead and takes a breath, tightening his grip on his blasters. "I am a Jedi," Shock says, soft. "I accept the will of the Force, Dooku." Dooku's expression is nothing but cruelty. "Yes, yes, but isn't it interesting that neither of your Padawans lived a month beyond their knighting? Once is a tragedy, Shock, but I might call twice the flaws of the teacher." Colt can see the movement before it comes, and when Dooku lunges, he's already throwing himself forward, plowing shoulder first into Dooku's side and whirling, grabbing Shock to shove her behind him. Hears her startled breath and says, "General!" "Yes," Shock says grimly, and raises her lightsaber again, stepping forward in time to intercept a crackling wash of Force lightning. Colt can see the effort it takes, the way her eyes narrow and her mouth thins, and he aims, fires, sidesteps, and fires again, and Dooku jerks, throwing up a hand to block the shot. The lightning dies with a crackle just as an invisible hand snatches Cody by the throat. He has one instant to yelp. "No," Shock says, and in an instant she's across the space, whirling towards Dooku in a blur. Dooku wrenches back, but not nearly fast enough. The sweep of Shock's blade scores a long line of cauterized flesh down his arm, and he howls. From above, there's a sound of fury, and half an instant later, another figure is falling, red lightsabers out and ready. Colt wrenches around, fires, but Ventress blocks the shots, lands, lunges. Behind her, even quicker, Plo drops, twists, kicks her right into the far wall as she hits the ground. Behind him, without even having to look, Wolf tumbles down in a controlled fall, slow enough that it's obvious Plo has him. His blaster fires and Colt moves to match him, distracting Ventress before she can do more than take a step towards Plo. Master! Ventress snarls and surges forward, trying to drive Plo back. He hems her in, drives her away from Wolf as he lands, and she hisses at him but retreats, falls back, and Colt turns towards his general, something like victory surging. If Shock feels the same thing, Colt can't read it in her face. She stands over Dooku, blade at his throat, and her eyes are sad but steady. Surrender, Dooku, she tells him, soft. You've lost here. There's a long, long moment of silence, and then Dooku tilts his head and closes his eyes. I may have, he allows, even over Ventress's sound of fury. But my master will not be so easily defeated, Shock. You already failed both of your Padawans. Are you truly prepared to fail the entirety of the clone army? To fail the Republic as a whole as it lurches forward, bloated and dying towards its demise? Colt growls, advancing, but Shock doesn't so much as flinch. Perhaps I will, she allows. Perhaps it is a doomed effort to hold the Republic together in the midst of this. But my way, at least, does not lead to the deaths of billions and the profit of monsters. You were a Jedi once, Dooku, no matter how far you have fallen. Surely you must see that there are no winners to be had in this war. For a long stretch of seconds, she studies him, and then says quietly, Not even your master in the run of things. Dooku snorts. You have no idea of my master's capabilities, he says, or his plans. You see me as the greatest enemy. No. Shock interrupts, steely. I see you as a dark, corrupted thing, but your master holds your leash still, and I will tear it from his grasp if I must. Do you yield? Dooku's expression tightens, and he tips his head in an aborted nod. It makes Shock smile, and she raises a hand. For an instant, Dooku's eyes flicker from her to Colt, then to Ventress, and Colt goes cold. He spins, blasters coming up, and fires automatically. Ventress is a snake, though. She twists right through it, deflecting the bolt, and lashes out with fury on her face. Colt! Wolf snarls, but Colt can't move. Shock is focused on Dooku, has to hold him still, or this is all for nothing. Ventress is lunging, and Colt won't let her kill his general. He sets his jaw, ducks low, and as Ventress lands, he throws himself right at her. It's the one move she's not expecting. Her eyes go wide, and she tries to leap clear, but Colt is too close. He flattens her, knocks one hand with the lightsaber wide, feels her flip the other blade around, and slash down. A blue blade blocks it, and Plo deliberately sets a boot on her other wrist, pinning it. I'm afraid, he says politely, almost warmly, except Colt can see the tension in him, that I can't allow you to harm another trooper, Ventress. Surrender. Never, Ventress hisses, and twists hard. A foot catches Colt in the chest, and she spins to her feet, one hard push with the force throwing Plo back. Wolf lunges to catch his general, firing as he goes, and Ventress snarls, blocks the shot. Colt rolls up enough to fire as well, driving her back, and in one sharp surge, she throws herself up towards the lip of the floor above, then vanishes over the edge. There's a shout, a cry. Colt jerks, wanting to get to Blitz, to Havoc before she can slaughter them. The familiar sound of Havoc's rifle echoes, and lightsabers crash together. Plo takes a step, orders, Wolf, help Shock, and then follows Ventress. Tense, clearly unhappy about it, Wolf lowers his blaster with a grimace, then offers Colt a hand. Still in one piece? He asks. Colt grunts, glancing at Shock, who hasn't wavered, hasn't looked away from Dooku. He's glad. Dooku is worth 1,000 times what Ventress is, and if he makes use of the distraction, manages to slip away, this will all have been pointless. Mostly, he says. Better than my first encounter with that witch, Wolf says, only a little bitter. He pulls a pair of cuffs from his belt and says, General T, I can secure the prisoner. Dooku's mouth thins, eyes narrowing, but Shock just hums.
Thank you, Commander Wolf, she says. Stun cuffs?
Force shackles, Wolf corrects, and looks viciously pleased about it. With a quiet chuckle, Shock steps back far enough to let him get to Dooku, though her lightsaber never shifts.
Fully dedicated to the role, I see, she says in amusement.
The armor's from the temple. No Jedi has ever heard of restraint, Wolf says, unimpressed.
No offense, General.
Shock watches him pull Dooku's arms around behind him and snap the cuffs into place.
None taken, Wolf, I assure you.
As Wolf hauls Dooku to his feet, she turns, and Colt takes a breath, holstering his pistols and stepping forward. Shock doesn't reach for him, doesn't step away from Dooku, but her thoughts curl around his in a warm, bright wash, one touch to check, then a lingering brush that curls heat through his bones, like lying in the sun after days in the cold. Silently, Colt reaches back, lets her sense his collection of bumps and bruises that don't amount to much, and feels her quiet concern anyway. Feels the
later.
That's like a touchstone, like a promise, and lets himself ease back enough to give her a crooked smile.
I'm fine, he says quietly. A rather surprising outcome, she allows, amused,
and Colt snorts. With a roll of his eyes, Wolf shoves Dooku a step forward.
Are we done? He asks.
Shock hums, raising her calm.
If I recall correctly, Master Teen and his fleet are just over the border in Republic space, she says. They'll be able to take the Count into custody. We are needed back on Kamino.
Colt frowns, not entirely liking the sound of that. Sir? He asks warily.
Just a feeling, Shock allows, but a persistent one.
She takes Dooku's elbow, graceful and polite, as if they're in a Senate hallway somewhere, as if Colt can't see the Predator's slant to her smile.
Brace yourself, please, Dooku.
Dooku scowls at her, but lets her lift him, leap them up to the top floor. A moment later, Colt feels the Force catch him and Wolf, lifting them along with her, and grimaces faintly, but doesn't struggle. It deposits them on solid ground a moment later, and Colt immediately takes 3 steps forward to crouch down next to Blitz.
All right, Vode?
He asks in concern, but Blitz waves him away. Ventress bounced me off one too many walls, and my head isn't as hard as yours, he says, and Colt snorts.
Now that's a lie, he says, and clasps wrists with Blitz, hauling him to his feet.
Blitz staggers, then hobbles, and Colt pulls his arm over his shoulder and looks for the Jedi. Quinlan is the only one visible, sitting on the mansion's steps, with a clearly broken arm held carefully to his chest. But he rises when he sees Shock, and Havoc, next to him, helps him stay on his feet when he wavers.
Ventress, Wolf says sharply.
Plo chased her off, Quinlan says, waving his good hand towards the street. He lost her in the crowd, though. He's on his way back now. Wolf grimaces, but nods.
Odds that she'll jump us on our way to the spaceport? He asks grimly.
Slim, Shock says, and pushes Dooku forward. Blitz, please see if you can raise Sayasi Teen and his fleet for a prisoner pickup. We should rendezvous with him as soon as possible, but I do not think Ventress will be a threat.
She is a ruthless and independent child, Dooku says, grim. You underestimate her, Shock.
No, my friend, I do not.
Shock returns, unwavering.
You are both Sith. Whatever loyalty she has for you will be outweighed by her hope that she can take your place.
A pause as she watches Dooku's tense posture, and then she says softly,
This is the path you chose, Dooku. One of betrayal and cruelty. It was your own choice to walk this road. Qui-Gon would be disappointed in you.
Colt almost thinks he sees Dooku flinch at that. Not much, obviously, but it's definitely there. He snorts, then nods to Plo as he emerges from the surrounding streets.
Thanks for the save, General,
he says. Plo chuckles. The colt thinks he catches his eyes lingering on Dooku for a long moment. It's hard to tell behind the goggles.
My pleasure, Commander Colt. I admit, finding the four of you here was a surprise.
A pleasant one, I hope, Shock says politely, and smiles at him. Your mission is complete.
Mission? Quinlan scoffs. He was just tagging along to stick his nose into everything.
Overseeing the dissemination of information, Plo counters cheerfully. Though I'm glad we could be of assistance. May we accompany you to your destination?
Three Jedi to hold one civilian, Dooku asks, contemptuous. Do you fear me that much?
Shock ignores him like he's an insect under her boot. It makes Colt grin.
Yes, if you wouldn't mind, Plo. Quinlan, I would rather not risk his escape.
No worries, Quinlan says, lazily intent, and smirks at Dooku's dark look. With the count out of the picture, I don't have a mission anymore.
Mission? Havoc repeats, brows rising. You were here on a mission? As a spy?
The treachery expected of a Jedi, Dooku says darkly. I had hoped you would live up to my expectations, Quinlan, but it seems you are eternally a disappointment.
A disappointment to a Sith. I think I can live with that.
Quinlan's eyes are cold, but his smirk, when he turns it on Havoc, is something close to cheerful.
Got a bone mender on your ship? I bartered mine to a pirate a few weeks ago.
I think we can figure something out, sir. Havoc steadies him with a hand on his shoulder, then asks, General T, the chips?
If Dooku didn't activate them during the fight, I assume he can't, Shock says. Your brothers should be safe from that, at least, while guarding him.
Cody grimaces, not wanting to think about what could have happened if Dooku had been able to do that. It's horrifying, especially given the way Shock hadn't hesitated to let him help her fight, to give him her back.
One piece of good, he says grimly, and falls in one step behind Shock, eyes on Dooku. Shock turns her head just enough to cast him a smile.
I think there's far more than one piece,
she says, and the touch of her mind to his brings with it that soft kiss on the doorstep, the press of their foreheads, the feel of Colt's hands. Colt breathes in, breathes out, thinks of good things, and smiles back.
Just a few, he agrees, and ignores Blitz's pointed groan in favor of Shock's soft, warm laugh. It's more than enough. Hitting the ground jars Fox back to abrupt awareness. For a moment, he can't figure out what's happened. Lies where he fell with his head spinning and the fiery, furious ache inside his skull all he can focus on. He feels like he's been hollowed out and haphazardly patched back together, like the glue is already coming apart, but a voice somewhere above him is hissing denials. There's a sense of something dark, like stepping into a room with a flickering light that's about to go out, or passing into an unlit tunnel, and for a moment Fox can't breathe through the weight of it, like dread. There's something soft over his wrist, right in the gap between gauntlet and armor. He can feel cloth. And when he finally manages to pry his eyes open with an effort, his gaze catches on black fabric. Black fabric over brown, with a wide sash and a broad back in front of him, blocking him from sight, blocking him from attack. And Fox can just see a man in a dark cloak, hand raised, something like madness on his face. Lord Jedgar, he thinks. But that makes him think of Lady Marili and his stomach turns. But he can't see Lord Jedgar well. Not clearly. Because Anakin is between him and the threat, doubled over and gasping, his hands clamped to his temples.
Just give in, Anakin,
a man's quiet voice says. And a moment later, a man with long, graying hair crouches down in front of Anakin, face kind, eyes warm. He should look like a good man, but
Something like horror crawls down Fox's spine, and he stares behind the cover of his helmet, feeling like a little mouse in front of a hawk. Doesn't blink, doesn't move, even as Anakin twists in on himself, a low, pained noise breaking from his throat. "Qui-Gon," he gasps. "Qui-Gon, I can't."
"You don't need to,"
Qui-Gon says gently, and he rests a hand on Anakin's shoulder, ignores his flinch, curls it there, and it's like there are black shadows bleeding into Anakin through the press of his hand, like it's spreading corruption, the point where rot starts. Anakin's breaths are growing sharper, harsher, and Fox can see his hands go white-knuckled, the way his whole body curves inwards.
"Don't resist," Qui-Gon says. "Giving in is so much easier. Nothing will be lost if you do, but everything will be saved. Senator Amidala, your Padawan, Obi-Wan, if you have more power, you can save them, Anakin."
That voice feels like rot, too. And maybe it's his imagination, but Fox can feel it settling in, barbs sinking themselves beneath Anakin's skin, can feel him wavering and knows, bone deep and immediate, that it's wrong. His blasters are gone, lost when he tried to pull them on the Chancellor. His vibro blade was lost, killing a Vornskr sometime before Anakin found them. Fox doesn't have a weapon, and there's no way he can hold off a Sith and a man who looks like a Jedi single-handedly. Even with a weapon, his odds would be terrible. But like this, he has no chance. Desperately, he drops his gaze, looking for something. Anything. Anakin's lightsaber is on the ground, barely a meter away, lying where he must have dropped it. Fox stares at it for a long moment, running through calculations. Knows, objectively, what a lightsaber means to a Jedi, and how grabbing it would be like a brother stealing another clone's helmet, but he thinks of Anakin's forehead against his, the curl of impossible heat that twisted through his chest. A Keldabe kiss. And maybe it's not the same for a Jedi as it is for a Mandalorian, but that doesn't mean it has any less an impact for Fox. A kiss after a rescue. And maybe Fox should feel guilty for doing that to Senator Amidala, should have remembered himself. But it was one bright thing in an expanse of darkness, and he hadn't been able to resist. Fox hadn't stepped into the hangar expecting to survive, getting Jack and Thier out of the way. After all, it shouldn't have mattered. But then Anakin saved him again, and it did. It's ironic, amusing, that the one senator Fox has ever felt anything for is apparently in some kind of relationship with the Jedi he's always admired. That Padme Amidala is the one he'd hurt, if she knew about the kiss, and she's one of the few people in the Senate who makes things bearable, but at the very least, he can save her lover, can give Anakin a chance. "Annie," Qui-Gon urges gently,
"just reach for the rage. Feel the power it gives you. All you have to do is use it."
"I'm a Jedi," Anakin croaks. "I'm a Jedi. I won't." Fox lunges. One hard roll, a grab, and he shoves to his feet, thumb finding the button on the hilt with a familiarity he shouldn't feel. The glowing blue blade ignites, and Fox spares half a second to assess the threats. Even if Lord Jedgar feels more dangerous, Qui-Gon is the immediate threat, is more dangerous to Anakin, and that makes the decision easy. He swings for Qui-Gon's head, and the man has one shattered fraction of an instant to react, but he still manages it. Jerks back, rising. Not fast enough. Fox is good with any weapon, better with a vibro sword. The lightsaber's oddly weighted, not anything like what he's used to, but the idea is the same. Fox adjusts for the weight, for the feel of the thrust, and sinks the blade right into Qui-Gon's chest, straight through the center and all the way through. For one heartbeat, Qui-Gon stares. Fox stares back, set, angry, and Qui-Gon's form bleeds blue. The color slides out of his body, and so does the tangibility. So does the darkness. And Fox jerks a step back, startled, but able to feel it clearly. Qui-Gon's expression twists into relief, and he smiles at Fox, then vanishes. Jedi Master Qui-Gon Jinn, Fox thinks, and has to swallow. Killed by a Sith on Naboo, stabbed through the chest by a lightsaber. He'd forgotten. No! Jedgar growls, furious, and takes a step forward, raising a hand. Behind Fox, Anakin cries out denial, desperate, and Fox takes a deliberate step back, blocking him from the Sith. I don't think so, Fox says coldly. Leave. Jedgar's expression contorts. A toy is going to stop me, he demands and laughs. You've never even held a lightsaber before, boy. There's nothing to you but cloned cells and the instincts of a weapon. If he thinks Fox hasn't heard worse practically every day of his existence, serving the Senate as he does, he's really insane. Fox snorts, doesn't even waver, just tilts the blade across his body, leveling it to guard, and hears the shift behind him, the ragged, indrawn breath. Fox? Anakin asks. Yes, sir, Fox says, but Jedgar's eyes flicker from him to Anakin, narrow. There's a long, long pause, and then he smiles. Ah, he says, and that expression is a dark, chilling one. You found yourself a pet, Lord Vader. How sweet. Will his death make you angry, I wonder? You were so desperate to save him, after all. He takes a step forward, and this time Fox does step back, a thread of ice winding its way down his spine. If he's grievously wounded, who will you turn to in order to save him? Slagging hells, Fox thinks, and grits his teeth, hears the furious sound of denial as Anakin staggers to his feet. But Jedgar is moving, red lightsaber appearing in his hand and lashing out, and Fox throws all his weight behind the blow to block it. The impact rattles right through him, sends him staggering back, but he grits his teeth and presses forward as best he can, then ducks, spins to the side, letting another blow just miss him, and retreats three long steps towards the main door as Jedgar follows, then keeps retreating. If he can just get him away, out of range of Anakin, it will give Anakin time to regroup, to ready himself. Fox can be the distraction, the bait. Jedgar will take it in the name of hurting Anakin, and that's fine. And then, out of the corner of his eye, Fox catches a flash of mostly white armor streaked with blue. He doesn't let himself react, doesn't look, but what Thorne said is easy to recall. He and Reese got stunned by a trooper, practically a shiny, who came with Anakin. Fox would bet anything that's the same shiny running for his general right now, hauling him up and off the ground with a shoulder under his arm. And with him, a small human woman dressed in worn gray clothes. She's carrying a heavy, ornate lantern clutched in both hands and creeping up behind Jedgar with furious determination on her lined face. Fox takes a deliberate step back, keeping Jedgar's eyes on him. You won't win this, he says. Jedgar laughs. I'm a prophet, he says. Whatever you think to do, boy, I can see. There's nothing you can do that I haven't already anticipated. With both hands and all her strength, the woman swings the lantern. It slams into Jedgar's skull with a crash that echoes, a meaty thud, and Jedgar crumples, hits, lies still in a spreading pool of blood. The woman staggers, and instantly Fox deactivates Anakin's lightsaber and catches her, bracing her on her feet. Ma'am? He asks, concerned. Are you all right? The woman puts a hand to her head. He was unpleasant, she says with a grimace. But it's fading now, a little. Fox can feel that, too, and he lets out a slow breath. Once the Sith Lord is dealt with, it will get better, he says grimly, not willing to take the lightening of the air at face value. We should get you to the ship, ma'am. Not yet, she says firmly, and pulls away. My son is here. Fox takes one look at her, her eyes, the feel of her, like a weight against his skin, and breathes in. General Skywalker is over there, by the wing, he says, and when she smiles at him, it's a little like seeing the sun after weeks of darkness. Thank you, she says, and hurries towards the ship. Fox keeps to her heels, attentive to the sounds of a fight from the other end of the hangar. But he's not about to leave a civilian armed only with a lantern on her own. Besides, he has Anakin's lightsaber, and no matter how cool it is, Fox is fully aware that it will be of more use in a Jedi's hands. Shmi, the unfamiliar clone says, as she rounds the wing in front of Fox. Are you... But he's cut off by a strangled cry, a wrench of movement. The lightsaber goes flying from Fox's hand, and Fox has one half-second to lunge, shoving Shmi back a step towards the shiny. He grabs Anakin, hauling him away as the blade ignites, and says, General, no, she saved me. Anakin's breath is ragged in his ear, and his eyes are wide, fixed on his mother. His expression twists, and he staggers, a hand coming up to his head as he makes a low, agonized sound. No, he rasps. No, no, she's like Qui-Gon. I can't. Fox hesitates, but she doesn't feel the same way, he says. And Anakin looks at him, pauses, and then raises a hand. Knowing what he wants, Fox nods jerkily and hauls off his helmet, refusing to allow himself to be scared, and the touch of Anakin's mind is nothing like Mareili's. It's light, all-encompassing, full of shadows, but still brilliant even so. Like this, now, when Fox actually has enough space to pay attention to something besides the pain and the hollowed-out ache, it's incredible. It makes him a terrible person, but Fox can't bring himself to regret that stolen kiss. To hide it, to cover, Fox closes his eyes, letting Anakin see how Shmi feels, letting him see the rot that was in Qui-Gon's being until the moment before he disappeared, and showing him the difference. Feels like it's in his own mind the way Anakin shudders, wants to believe, fears. When he opens his eyes, Anakin is crying, and he leans in, thumping his forehead against Fox's. It makes Fox's breath stutter hard in his lungs, but Anakin is already moving, slipping past him and leaving Fox, dazed and unsteady, behind him. Mom, he says, hope and disbelief and pure, aching wonder. Shmi smiles, brilliant, warm, and reaches for him. Annie, she says, and laughs a little, almost in tears. Oh, my little Annie. Anakin's laugh cracks out of his throat, and he lunges, sweeping her up off her feet and spinning her around, clutching her close and burying his face in her hair. Mom, he repeats, and Fox has to look away, his own throat tight at the sheer joy on Anakin's face. He wants... distant and nebulous and undefined, but he pulls his helmet on and ignores it. They have more important things to focus on.